Yesterday we had the wonderful Feast Day of All Saints, and today we have the Feast Day of All Souls, when we pray for the souls in purgatory. So we should ask ourselves, just what is purgatory? What has the Church said about it? The teaching is that purgatory is a place of temporary purification for those men and women who have died in the state of sanctifying grace. So these men and women are saved. They've died in the state of grace. However, they've not fully satisfied for the punishment due to sin. And this would be in reference to, for example, let's say mortal sins that were forgiven and absolved through confession that they've not made up for, or venial sins that we still have on our soul at the moment of death, or attachments to sins that we would have. These have to be purified before we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, all of us have an instinctive feeling in our heart when somebody dies that we should pray for them. And if only heaven and hell existed, we should not be praying for the dead, because the souls in heaven don't need our prayers, and the souls in hell cannot be helped by our prayers. But not only Catholics, but every person has an instinctive feeling in their heart that we can somehow help those that have passed away, that our prayers are valuable for them. And so common sense and reason tells us that we should be praying for the souls of the departed, our departed loved ones, and the souls of all of those who have died. We know that the existence of purgatory is very reasonable, and plus it's also implicitly mentioned in sacred scripture. You will not find the word purgatory in the Bible, but nor will you find the word Trinity in the Bible, and yet all Christians believe in the Trinity. Even though you won't find the word, you'll find the truth. And the same thing with purgatory. You'll find the truth of purgatory in scripture. We see in the Old Testament a very beautiful saying: it is therefore a good and wholesome thought to pray for the dead that they might be loosed from their sins. Obviously not mortal sins, but smaller sins, imperfections, and venial sins. And that's in 2 Maccabees. Also, our Lord talked about in Matthew chapter 12, he said, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this world or in the world to come. And this would indicate that some sins can be forgiven in the world to come. Obviously not mortal sins, but smaller sins, venial sins, can be forgiven in the world to come. Then the book of Revelation says in chapter 21, nothing defiled can enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's one of the strongest teachings for purgatory, that nothing unclean, nothing impure can enter the kingdom of God. This all has to be purified before we can enter the kingdom of God. And thank God for purgatory, because imagine how many souls there are who die perfectly sanctified at the moment of their death. If purgatory did not exist, then in God's justice, even if somebody had the smallest, tiniest sin on their soul, they could not enter the kingdom of God. So purgatory is a very wonderful and consoling truth of our faith. And it's really a place where God's mercy meets his justice, where we still have to make up for our sins, but we're not punished for all eternity because of our smallest sins. The Bible also said, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. And this would tell us the fact that we have to be, in order to see the beatific vision, we have to be cleansed and purified before we can see God face to face. So purgatory is very reasonable, but it's also been a teaching of the Church for 2,000 years. We see allusions to it in the letters of St. Paul, in the early fathers of the Church, and in the doctors of the Church. And it's been officially, solemnly defined by the Council of Trent. And the Council of Trent says, quote, there is a purgatory, and the souls are detained, which are detained, are assisted by the suffrages of the faithful, but especially by the most acceptable sacrifice of the altar. So So the church teaches that there is a purgatory, that people are purified there, and they can especially be helped by our prayers and by offering Holy Mass for them. Now, what is the chief pain in purgatory? The chief suffering in purgatory is not being able to see the vision of God. That's the greatest pain, but it's only a temporary pain. In fact, the saints tell us that the joy in purgatory is greater than any joy you can have on earth. Because in purgatory, you cannot sin, you cannot be tempted, and you know for a guaranteed fact that you will see God eventually. And so your happiness and joy in heaven is greater than you could ever have on earth. But they also say that the purification and the sufferings of purgatory would be greater than we could ever experience here on earth as well. So the chief pain of purgatory is not being able to see God face to face. But it is a temporary purification, a temporary longing and burning of the soul to one day be with God. And how long people stay in purgatory, we don't know. We can't measure it in earthly minutes or hours or days. However, we can say that for some people, for some souls, it could be an instant, just like that, and they could pass through purgatory. Perhaps for others, it would take a much longer duration. But what can we do to help the souls in purgatory? And the church recommends a few things. First of all, the greatest thing we could do for the souls in purgatory, since they cannot pray for themselves, their time of meriting has ceased. They can pray for us here on earth, but there's nothing they can do to bring about their purification and entering heaven. They're totally dependent upon what we do for them. And so the greatest thing we can do is to have masses offered for the souls in purgatory. The sacrifice of the Mass is not dependent upon the holiness of the priest. It's the perfect sacrifice of Jesus offering himself to the Father. We should also be praying every day for the souls in purgatory. We should say, "Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them." We can also do acts of charity, almsgiving, generosity to the poor, and offer it for the poor souls. And lastly, we can offer up everything for the souls in purgatory and really give it to Our Lady to distribute to whom she sees fit. So we don't know if our loved ones are in heaven, hell, or purgatory, but we can offer everything to our Blessed Mother, who then offers it to Jesus, and then they can apply it to the people who need the prayers the most. When we think about purgatory and heaven, the main thing we should remember is that we should aim high. Always aim at becoming a great saint and getting to heaven. Don't just say, "Well, I hope I get into the lower realms of purgatory." Okay? Don't aim for purgatory. For example, when you shoot a missile, you want to aim high. In case it drops a little bit lower, it's still going to reach its destination. Aim for heaven, and then if you miss, you'll land safely in purgatory. But don't aim for purgatory, because if you miss that, you know where you're going to go. Okay? So aim high. Don't fall into bad ballistics. Make sure that you aim properly for heaven. And so today we pray for the souls in purgatory. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.